This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Funniest moment from yesterday's game was in the second half. Charles Omenihu running off the field when he wasn't supposed to, alongside A.J. Moore. As he gets to the sidelines, he kind of gets a little bit lost, doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He knows he's supposed to be on the field, but at this point, he's by the sidelines.
Yeah.
And there's going to be 10 guys on the field if he runs. So Charles Omenihu looks around and then falls down and fakes an injury. Here's what it sounded like on the CBS call.
So here's Omenihu up there.
Number 11.
That's 11 and 12, so 11 are running up there.
Yeah.
94.
I hope he's okay.
Yes, this was tough. Get off the field, one of you. I'll just go down. I want to go down.
It doesn't look good, Tony.
Ow. I'm good now, guys. I'm back.
That was
a tough moment for me, but I got through it.
I liked it. I mean, if you're
going to... Come on, Charles.
If you're going to screw up, you might as well try to limit the damage, and that's what he was trying to do. Now, I believe you can get a fine for that in the NFL. Who knows how much they're going to, do that or legislate that. But, yeah, I thought he did fine. I would have done it.
It's a guarantee he's going to be on Come On, Man on ESPN.
100%.
On Monday Night Football.
100%.
Omenihu will be on there. As hilarious as that was, and as goofy as it looked, and Omenihu was goofing around on the sidelines, kind of laughing about it, that wasn't the low point for the defense yesterday.
It wasn't?
Do you know the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, early?
Pretty early.
Yeah.
What was it?
You're talking about the throwback, the flea flicker,
yes,
that they did? Yes, that was it.
There was a flea flicker by the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. The running back probably put a little too much air on it. And Matthew Stafford, mm-hmm, who's not the fastest guy, ended up dropping the ball in large part because Justin Reed came in and broke it up. But Matthew Stafford probably had 3 or 4 steps on Whitney Merciless.
Easy.
If that's a good throw, then he is in the end zone, no questions asked, and he's, mm-hmm, looking like Megatron.
Yeah.
Whitney Merciless got burned by Matthew Stafford yesterday.
No play will tell you that he's just lost a step more than that one the rest of the year. He's had a hard time getting that burst going, and we've seen it. We've talked about it, and it's going to be an albatross of a contract next year, that's for sure. But he, that pretty much epitomized it right there.
That was a low point.
Yeah.
I think someone on Twitter said, I think it might have been Rivers McCown, that the rules are if Matthew Stafford catches that pass, you have to retire. That's the rule.
I mean, you would want to, because you know it's going to be unrelenting that you're going to get the noise you're going to get from your teammates, that's for sure. Although maybe they understand that he's having a hard time. Maybe he's injured, but they wouldn't do it, but it was a bad look.
Really bad look for Whitney Merciless, yeah. and a pretty funny look for Charles Omenihu. Texans win yesterday, 713-572-4610. Deshaun Watson, MVP, according to John Lopez.
You took a little bit of a liberty with my discussion there, with my point. I don't see how this is even a controversial point. I don't think it's controversial at all. A lot of people on the text board and calling in have already co-signed my point. It all depends on how you define it. You define MVP as carrying your team to a very high place, wins and losses included, and then that's part of it. Some people, and I think in this case you can make that determination, you can make that definition of MVP as who's the best dang player in football right now. Forget the records, forget anything else, just who's playing the best football, who has that kind of value. The word valuable is how you define that is how you vote for an MVP. Because they're not going to, I still don't think, by the way, as exciting as it is to see this team recently, I still don't think they're going to have a winning record. They're not going to go to the playoffs. And Deshaun Watson, to be clear, will not win the MVP. I think he should be in the discussion. I think he's wedging his way into the discussion. His numbers the last 6 weeks, you went through them earlier, are just ridiculous. And what he's doing for this team, which otherwise you put any average quarterback in there, I'm not sure how many games they win. He's valuable.
This team, if you convert the two-point conversion against the Titans and you put them away,
mm-hmm.
and then on the fourth and two against the Browns, if you score there and Randall Cobb doesn't drop the pass, it's a 500 team.
It would be. You can also talk about how other games could have gone the other way, too. I mean, you know, the games that the two games against Jacksonville, maybe, you know, here a break here or there changes.
So it's a 6-5 team.
That's correct. It's a 6-5 team.
6-5.
But those are all things that are just ifs and buts, you know, and so.
What we're talking about. I'm not sitting here saying, plausible. I'm not sitting here like connecting too many dots.
It's literally
a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
And a fourth and goal from the two.
But here's the thing. The good news is it didn't happen and Bill O'Brien got fired.
This is when Romeo was coached.
I know. What I'm saying, though, is you lost to the Vikings. That was a great loss, if there is such a thing, because it got you moving on. And so now you're at this point where you can have these discussions. All those things are plausible, but, I mean, they didn't happen. They absolutely didn't happen. So that's where you are, and I think, you know, that's why Watson is not necessarily – going to be in the legit MVP discussion.
I mean, who knows what happens in the AFC playoff race right now? I don't even know if you're laying out scenarios. I don't even know if 9-7 would get you in for sure.
Oh no!
If the Texans won out, yeah. I don't even know if 9-7 gets you in for sure with the way everything is.
No, so I go ahead.
I don't even know if there's anything that can really happen. Although it could get interesting. Because a lot of these teams are going to have to start playing each other. But I don't know for certain. Like, let's just say the Texans win out. And am I going to bet on that? F no. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sitting here saying that. But 9-7, I don't even know if that would get you in at this point. But if you had won one of those games, it could be interesting. Because I think 10-6 would. I think 10-6 would. The Colts game is going to be where, when we talk about, it's easy for us to sit here and say, you know, the Texans are playing better.
Right.
But let's just put it in perspective. Let's take a step back. Let's quit drinking the Kool-Aid for just a sec.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just take a step back. You beat the Jags twice. They have one win.
Yeah.
You beat the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that good. And you beat the Lions without two of their three best receivers, arguably their best running back.
Right.
And two cornerbacks. So let's take a step back. If you go on the road and you beat the Indianapolis Colts in 9 days,
mm-hmm.
then we can start talking about how much better this team is playing. Because even Romo and Nance yesterday were talking about the schedule and how it started and, you know, so on and so forth. But if you go on the road and you beat the Colts in 9 days, that's where it gets interesting. Because if that happens, because think about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts play the Titans this week. If the Colts lose to the Titans and you beat the Colts, you're two games behind them in the standings.
Right.
Two games behind the Colts with a game left to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans would be running away with the division, which would mean that week 17 game when you face the Titans,
mm-hmm.
they probably wouldn't be playing their top dogs.
Right.
So if they beat the Colts in the 9 days, then we can talk about playing better football. I think they are playing better. But show me a road win against the Indianapolis Colts
mm-hmm.
before I start throwing out the three letters that you're throwing out there.
Here's a better way. Here's an easier way to look at it. I'll put it that way. You want the Raiders, Ravens, and Dolphins to lose this week because those are the three teams you're really going to have to jump.
Say that again.
You want the Raiders, Ravens, and Dolphins to lose this week.
Raiders are facing the Falcons, and they're only a 3-point favorite.
The Ravens may not even play.
Dolphins are playing the Jets. I don't even think they're going to try.
Right, but the Ravens are going to start at best RG3.
I don't sleep on him
against the Steelers and may not even play. But you want all three of those teams to lose because that's where you're looking. So you have three teams in the AFC that are 6-4, right? You're 4-7. So if those three teams win, that would be nine teams with seven wins in the AFC. Even if you win, you know, all but one game the rest of the way, you're 8-8, right? Or 9-7, whatever it is. But you're not going to get to 10. There's no way you can get to 10 at this point. You'll be 8-8. I'm sorry. And that means that these two, all these teams with at least seven wins after this week, if those three teams win, they just got to win two games, and they got you.
But even if you don't win, even if you lose, you still win. Because Will Fuller not catching that ball against the Vikings gave you hope for next year. Yep. We're not kicking the can down the road anymore.
No.
We're throwing out some sort of Hail Mary scenario out of our ass where there's probably like a 1% chance that it happens. But make no mistake about it, this season has been a success because you're seeing just by Bill O'Brien leaving the building, there's still a little bit of stench.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a much better squad. Let's go to JR, the UPS guy. JR, man, I feel for you. It's about to get crazy for you. It's about to get holiday season, man. Holiday season.
Hey, man, you know what? It's all good, man. That's what we do, and I get paid by the hour, man.
So there we go.
I ain't doing no tripping. First of all, I wanted to eat a little crow. You know what I'm saying? I think that it's fair, as a sports prognosticator of my own in my own little way, that it's a good thing to eat crow. Justin Reed, again, must have gotten a memo. He's been playing well. I'm glad to see that. I think as somebody who loves sports, especially for the team you have interest in, and you've kind of somewhat talked down on one of the players, you want to be wrong about that, right? You want that guy to come out and shine and prove you wrong, and he's done that. But that ain't why I called. Look, this is maybe this segment should be called Ifs and Buts or Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, but this is a nobody's talking about right here.
Nobody's talking about guy.
Man, appreciate that, Fig. I know you had some mac and cheese yesterday, baby.
Yes, sir.
So, anyways, Deshaun Watson should have thrown 7 touchdowns yesterday, right? Now, normally when you say something like that, it's like, it really doesn't pan out that way. But the very first drive, that throw he had to Kiki QT had a step and a half on the defender. I mean, if Deshaun throws that ball about an inch shorter, man, that's 6 points right there. That's a touchdown. And then, you know, he missed the two to Jordan Akins. Do y'all agree with that? Do you think he could have had 7 touchdowns yesterday?
I think he could have had 6.
He could have had 6 for
sure. I think
sure.
Kiki might have gotten scooted, but he could have had 6. But on one of the throws to Akins, I still think the guy's got to catch the rock.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think both of the throws that were thrown to Akins, especially the one that was dropped right in the breadbasket on the left sideline, look, man, you got to squeeze, man. If you touch it, you got to squeeze it, and you got to catch it, man. So I thought that was something nobody talked about.
Yeah.
The Akins one for sure.
Deshaun agrees with you. Deshaun said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said he should have had 6, and he said there's a lot to work on.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good thing about it is that your quarterback agrees with you. And I think that Watson would co-sign what JR said. He left some meat on the bone.
Yeah, he did.
No pun intended.
No, he absolutely did, and it's a good day to say that, by the way. But I didn't leave a lot of meat on the bone last night. I did some work.
Fat as hell right now.
I did some work, man.
Fat as hell right now. Here was Deshaun Watson with Michelle Tafoya after the game, co-signing what JR just said.
We're going to compete each and every game. We want to come out here and show that we can be explosive offensively. Defense is going to handle their side, get us on the field a little bit more. And we want to go out there and score. And I should have had 2 more touchdowns that I missed to Jordan Akins, but I'm going to correct that for next week. But, yeah, it was fun. It was an awesome experience, and definitely ready to get home to have a celebrate Thanksgiving with the family.
There you go.
It's good Thanksgiving.
Football Friday here on In the Loop. Let's go to Lamont. Lamont, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Say, man, just thinking about the Texans and y'all talking about the what-if scenarios. And I got another question after this. But every time I look at that record, man, I get upset. But then I think about Bill O'Brien not being here, and I just get a big, big smile on my face. And the sacrifice this season, say, man, I'm going to say it was worth it. But if anybody that I'm be more upset about, it would have to be the Astros, man. The Astros, and I'm talking about the Astros in relation to the Texans, because after the Texans beat the Chiefs, the Astros news came out, and it just totally eclipsed everything about Bill O'Brien. Bottom line, I think that Bill O'Brien was supposed to be fired after that game, but the Astros news kind of like buried it. Nobody wasn't even talking about it as much. And my last question for you guys, and this is apart from the Texans, so to speak, but, I mean, do y'all still consider the state of Texas? I'm not talking about the Texans only, but I'm talking about the state of Texas. Do y'all still consider this football country? I mean, outside of high school football, I mean, the state of Texas, I just don't feel it the way I used to, man, when I was younger with football. It's just different right now. That's all I have, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely football country just because of the fan bases alone and where your values are. I mean, we could, you know, football is it in this state. And, you know, there is a team in this state that is in the mix for the college football playoff. Just saying.
Who?
This team right here, baby.
Who?
This team right here, baby. Number 5 in the first college football poll. Notre Dame's going to lose to North Carolina this week. Aggie's going to romp LSU. Aggie's going to be in that top 4, baby. Going to the college football playoff. What?
You should have knew that was coming,
man. Hey, you can be as reluctant to give praise as you want.
They're cute this year. I mean, it's a cute team.
They're cute.
It's a cute run. It's the typical Aggie first half start. Now all of a sudden they get to delay it. It's just
they're cute.
It's a cute team. Cute team.
It's a cute squad. Whipping Florida's ass.
Big deal.
Whipping everybody by 20, 30 points right now.
Who didn't whip South Carolina?
Florida. Florida didn't whip South Carolina.
Who didn't?
I just told you.
God. Yeah. This is unbearable. This is the worst thing about the pandemic is 2 weeks of false confidence out there in College Station.
Dude, I don't mention the Aggies.
Coach O. Earn that paycheck.
I don't mention the Aggies. He mentioned football, so I brought it up because it was appropriate.
Yeah, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig.
Jealousy does not become you.
Here on Sports. Oh, I'm not jealous of that. I promise you. I can 100% promise you. I'm not jealous of that. But yeah, I do still think that Texas is a football state. 713-572-4610. Was Deshaun Watson the turkey yesterday, or was he the dressing? J-Lo will tell you next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
The difference between the Texans without Bill O'Brien and with Bill O'Brien can be seen. Don't talk about schedule. Don't talk about anything. You can watch the effing game, and you can see that specifically when it comes to the most important guy in the building, the most important position, that Bill O'Brien, it's been addition by subtraction. His presence, I don't know if it was mental. I don't know if it was schematic. Whatever it is, him leaving the building after week 4 has benefited Deshaun Watson more than anyone else. I don't think anyone can deny that. I don't care what the schedule says or anything like that. No one can deny that.
I totally agree. And sometimes, you know, coaches will always, you know, break out the cliche and say you want to put your players in the best position to win, right?
Gosh.
You all hear that?
Oh, gosh.
But where it rings true is mentally and your approach. And I think what you just talked about is 100% accurate. Whether it was just contrived or it just built up over time or whatever, this team was just mentally not all there pulling in the same direction as Bill O'Brien over the last year plus. You know, maybe longer, but at least for the last year plus, you could just see it. You know, a lot of criticism on Bill O'Brien. Maybe some of it was unfair. I don't think so, but it just drained on him. And that starts with the quarterback. And he, you know, what Deshaun Watson said yesterday after the game regarding these coaches just letting them play, I don't think that can be understated. I really don't. Because that was not a direct hit at Bill O'Brien, but it sure did tell you where he was before.
No, it was a direct hit.
And where he is now.
It was a direct hit.
I'm talking about, like, he didn't verbally say, thank God Bill O'Brien is gone. But, yes, it was a direct hit.
It was confirming what we knew.
Yeah.
Here was Deshaun Watson talking about Romeo Crennel, and he praises Romeo Crennel, but he's really taking a shot at King Bill.
He's just letting us play ball, letting the coaches, you know, do what they do, let them call the plays and not interfere with that, you know, and just let us, you know, go out there and just try to make plays as much as we can. And that's the point of the game. Of course, we want to, you know, make sure we're, you know, being conservative in some certain spots, but at the same time, hey, we got to go out there and put up points and let our guys, you know, let the talent, you know, take over. So that's what they've been doing.
Letting them call plays, not interfering. I mean, it's right there. It's the, I got this guy that you've been talking about for a long time. Deshaun Watson just confirmed that. And look, no one here We thought that the offense was going to have to carry the defense because the defense was neglected by King Bill, the GM. No one here expects that if Romeo Crennel had started out as the head coach, the Texans would have beat the Chiefs or the Ravens before injuries started taking over. But Derek Carr has looked good against the Chiefs twice. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert's looked good against the Chiefs. There's been quarterbacks that have looked good against the Ravens. Offenses have looked good against these teams.
Yeah.
And when you watch the Texans, the offense looked lost. The defense, yes, it got big body, but the offense looked lost. Deshaun Watson was not playing MVP caliber ball, which Derek Carr has done, which Justin Herbert has done. So that's really what the situation is. No one's going to sit here and say because the Texans have beat the Jags twice, unless you want to, the Lions and the Patriots, that with Romeo Crennel, the Texans would have started the week off shocking the world against Kansas City on a Thursday night. No one's saying that. But if you watch the damn game, which I think is the most important thing to do,
mm-hmm.
the quarterback's much better. The offense is much better. And addition by subtraction, not just with Bill O'Brien, but with David Johnson, has this offense playing a lot better.
I mean, obviously, Deshaun Watson is just flat out playing ridiculously better. I mean, he's an MVP caliber type performer right now. But beyond that, he's playing looser and freer and more confidently. And that's the mental state of what I mentioned. You know, putting your players in the best position to win is as much an emotional and mental thing, a psychological thing, as anything. And you can just see it. You can just it's just, you know, jumping off your screen that this offense all of a sudden doesn't have that guy interfering, doesn't have that guy not letting the coaches, you know, call the plays. It's obvious. I don't see how anybody could say otherwise.
It's obvious. JJ said it, and now you have Deshaun saying it for the first time in the couple months that B.O.B. has been gone. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Football Friday / Reaction Monday, really. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just a combo plate. No pun intended once again. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just want to go eat and be even fatter
than
I already am
coming,
right now.
Man.
So we know there's a difference between the Texans with and without Bill O'Brien. I feel like you had kind of a discovery the last day in the difference between men and women. The biggest difference between men and women.
Okay. This was so cool. So we went out early yesterday, me and my two sons, to play golf before the Texans game. And we went out to the Forest Course in Kingwood.
Y'all played on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was nice, man. We wrapped through that thing in about three hours.
Are golf courses crowded on Thanksgiving?
You know, they're crowded the day after Thanksgiving, I mean the day before and the day after Thanksgiving, but not as much on Thanksgiving Day, just because a lot of people eat at noon and stuff, and you know you gotta keep the wife happy. You know?
Yeah, the A team dinners are at noon. Yeah, you're right.
No, the B team, which by the way was the case yesterday. So we go out and play early, and this is the difference between men and women. And I'm curious to see others that our texters, our listeners might come up with, but I don't think there's any more than this. 713-572-4610. You can text or call. So my oldest son is about to putt on the number 4 green at the Forest Course. And he looks up at my middle son, who's walking onto the green, and says, "So, are you going to be my best man?" Because he got engaged recently. And my middle son goes, "Well, I haven't been asked. Are you asking?" "Yeah." "Okay, cool. That's it." That's how
Thank
he asked.
Thank you. That's the type of stuff that makes me proud to be a man.
Yes.
That's the type of stuff that makes me proud as hell to be a man. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Had a woman done that?
God, a scavenger hunt that ends in like a question.
There would have been a gift bag. There would have been a formal invitation to a lunch. They would have dressed up like they're going to church or out or whatever. There would have been a big presentation. There would have been a hashtag. You know, there would have been all kinds of stuff. Dudes just go, "So, you're going to be my best man?" "Well, you haven't asked." "You asking?" "Yeah." Cool. Done. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do.
Then will you be my bridesmaid is the goofiest thing ever.
And they do like these.
What's your daughter do, by the way?
She's, I think, I forget. She did something similar. Not
like
quite.
Like a scavenger hunt?
Not quite that big. I think she sent them like a little gift bag and invited them that way because it was during the pandemic.
You have been chosen as my bridesmaid.
Oh, God. It's just, why do women make it so complicated and overthink things like this?
How many times do you think? 713-572-4610. And I'm kind of intrigued to see if any loopholes can tell this.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think because I don't know what the divorce percentage is.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously when a guy most of the time asks a girl to marry him, he plans on being with her forever. That's the plan.
Correct.
Breaking news, that's the plan. But how many times do you think during the wedding process or during the process of getting ready to make that commitment
mm-hmm.
is when the arrow starts to point down on the future of them being together forever? How many times do guys, you think, just lose so much respect mm-hmm. for their future wife or whatever during the wedding process where that is the point where stuff starts to crumble?
79. 79 times. That's the average. I'm serious. Because here's the
79%.
Other 79 times over the course of the engagement, you start questioning things. That is a fact. That is an actual statistic that I know of. Anyway, because when a woman gets engaged, and that what I just talked about is part of the illustration, they don't even become them. They're not even themselves anymore. They become this crazy, glazed over. I mean, planning the wedding, talking about the wedding, meeting with people, trying to getting anxious. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And dudes are just like, yeah, okay, sure. Tell me when to show up. Women can learn from men on this.
Well,
there are a lot of things that men can learn from
ton,
women.
I mean, a ton. An overwhelming lot. Shout out to the female loopholes.
Many more things men can learn from women than women can learn from men.
Lots.
But they can learn from men on this.
The other thing about the man and the woman when it comes to the wedding
mm-hmm.
is like, aren't you trying to have fun? Like, aren't you trying
exactly.
to enjoy yourself? Like, you're making it not fun.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
You're making it not enjoyable.
It shouldn't be stressful.
Exactly, but it is. It's a hyper stressful. It's over the top stressful, big time. Like, even Thanksgiving was easier because we didn't have 20, 25 people or whatever the number is. It was just the family, just us, and we're, like, sitting down relaxing, having a good time.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. The difference between men and women, women will sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic for hours. Men will drive 20 miles in the wrong direction as long as they're going 55 miles an hour.
Yep. As long as I'm moving.
And that's something that men could maybe learn from women.
Yeah, exactly. The overwhelming majority of things you can learn from women. But this is not one of them. This is one they need to learn from men.
The wedding thing.
Just say, hey, you want to be my bridesmaid? Yes. Cool. All right. Well, I'll get back to you.
Good luck with that.
It should be a done deal if you got, like, best friends.
Well,
like,
sure.
If you got a couple best friends.
I mean, it gets complicated sometimes because there's more than one really, really good friend. But just ask them. Just do it. Make a decision. You don't have to have a hashtag, you know?
Weddings shouldn't be that much of an inconvenience either.
Right.
Like an overwhelming inconvenience.
And it can be.
Are y'all having y'alls during football season? Lopez is going to violate the rule.
No.
Lopez is going to violate the rule. He's got two weddings coming up, and there's going to be football season weddings. Man card revoked.
No.
Man card revoked.
When is it? November?
No.
When's your daughter's wedding?
April.
Okay. Perfect.
However.
During the draft.
However. My son's fiance wants to have the wedding in October.
Oh God! Oh,
not his call, buddy. But we got it. We got to work on that. Maybe
he can figure it out.
Yeah,
he can figure it out. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Texans get a dub. We're gonna eat that dub. We'll keep the calls rolling in as well. It is a victory. Football Friday here on In the Loop. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're In the Loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, Texans get the dub. Always good to eat a dub. No matter how much turkey you have, no matter how much stuffing, no matter how much mashed potatoes, if you're a green bean casserole guy, no matter how much, if you're a mac and cheese guy, no matter how much, you can always fit room for a W. Eating W's is like a good dessert. Even when you're stuffed, you can still find a way to fit it
They're
in.
They're like Jell-O. You always have room for Jell-O. You always have room for a dub.
713-572-4610 to get in. We're going to give our biggest takeaways in a sec, but before we do, Sean, you're on In the Loop Football Friday. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, man. Good morning to you guys. I wanted to not speak a long time, but just touch on the marriage piece. Man, I've never seen a groomzilla.
I've it's true.
LeBron-zilla. It's true. And just serious note, if these women could just concentrate on the marriage more than they do the wedding, I think we'll last longer with the, okay, that's cool, let's do it.
That's what's up, Sean.
Yeah.
That's what's up right there.
No groomzilla. I don't know any groomzillas.
I'm sure there are tendencies with some guys.
But during a wedding?
Yeah, they get all into it. You know, there's a lot of metros guy out there that really like to get into that stuff. But by and large, no, he's right.
You know, the most interesting thing, I don't know how we got off on this, but the most interesting thing is some of the most miserable couples where they should never get married. They hate each other. They don't want to be around each other. It's very obvious that if they ever got married, it wouldn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is the woman, so I'll say it. 713-572-4610 if I'm wrong. Not every time, but sometimes it seems like the woman wants a ring on her finger. And it's like, dude, y'all can't even be in the same house together. Y'all don't even like each other. Like, y'all can't stand each other. Y'all don't even like talking to each other. You don't want to be around each other. But she just wants that ring on her finger.
We all have known, and again, by and large, it's been women, that their life's goal is to get the ring on the finger. So they'll compromise or at least suppress some of the things that they probably know already.
I want to become a marriage bookie where you just hire me for a wedding,
mm-hmm.
and you let me do as much research as I can. I get an interview with the couple.
Mm-hmm.
I get to talk to the friends. And then at the wedding...
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm posted up. I'm posted up by where the bar is. And I'm taking bets. Place your bet. And I'm putting out odds how long the marriage will last. Yeah. I'm taking prop bets.
Over under 2.5 years. 7.5 years.
Baby within X amount. All that. I want to be like a marriage bookie.
That's a job.
That's a good idea.
That's a job whose time has come.
It would make it interesting.
It does.
The action would be there. And I guarantee you that the brides would absolutely hate that. And we get more Bridezilla activity.
The guys will know on your interviews more than the women. Guys are honest about it. We'll tell, dude, why are you marrying her, man? It ain't gonna happen.
Sometimes you'll have the bridesmaid who all she does is bash the other guy and talk about how crappy he is
and you
shouldn't be with him and all that. And then all of a sudden she goes up there and makes the speech like it's Romeo and Juliet. You're sitting there like, what is this speech?
You're right. You're 100%.
My friend got mad at me because I made an honest speech at his wedding when
God.
I was. Oh,
what did man. You say?
I just basically said it was a shotgun wedding.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was.
Like, give me the speech. I want to hear the speech you gave. I know you remember most of it.
Yeah.
I know you get married because your parents make you.
He's still my best friend, one of my best friends, but...
Is he?
Yeah. She was a lot younger, and it almost felt like he was happy she was pregnant.
Let's hear the speech.
I just based... Damn, I said swamp donkeys on the speech, too. I said I lived with so-and-so in college, and I'm telling you, I'm looking at blank, and I can assure you that all the swamp donkeys he used to bring home after the long nights at the bar, none of them look this good. So,
oh, my God.
I don't want to say you outkicked your coverage, but you did a good job.
Dude.
And I was like, I would tell you this, but I didn't. I don't feel like I have to. Because I've never seen someone so happy that he knocked someone up than I was when you told me when we were on our way to the rec center.
Dude.
True story. His dad was pissed.
No kidding. No kidding.
A word.
What was I supposed to do? Go up there and lie?
Yeah, do what the bride's the maid of honor did.
God's looking down. I can't lie at a wedding. No, but this is... I really had an excuse at this, and this is where I blamed her.
Yeah.
Because... And people were coming up to me like, man, what was that? My friend thought it was funny.
Yeah.
He didn't care. But people were coming up to me saying it because this is what happened. First of all, her sister goes up there.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister goes up
there. Starts crying. And
John.
The moment I saw them together.
No.
Yeah.
Her sister goes up there as a maid of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to do one of those hokey-ass bridesmaid speeches where she fills in the blanks. Like,
oh,
it's
God.
Already written out and she tries to fill in the blanks. And it completely bombs to where it's like the most awkward thing. So I'm just sitting up there thinking I got 10 minutes. I'm just chilling. And I'm just going to put the icing on the cake and say, yeah, raise your glass, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She goes up there and it bombs. Then you know what she does at her own sister's wedding? And this is the biggest no-no of all time.
Uh-huh.
She announces she's pregnant.
Oh, no.
So I'm just sitting there. It gets awkward. And she's up there bombing and just making like a complete disgrace of it.
No.
And then she announces she's pregnant during her bridesmaid speech. And it's already like a jealous sister's. So then all of a sudden she says that and she hands me the mic and I'm just sitting there like,
what's going on?
So I feel like I got to go like stand up routine and try to be funny instead, just put the icing on the cake. So I basically call it a shotgun wedding. Talk about all the ugly swamp donkeys he used to bring home in college. And most people enjoyed it. Most people enjoyed it and thought it was funny.
They told you they enjoyed it.
But they put me on the spot.
They told you they enjoyed it.
They put me on the spot.
The only thing worse.
Bro, she announced her pregnancy during her bridesmaid speech.
The only thing worse is you getting engaged at your sister's wedding. Oh, my gosh. You actually said swamp donkey.
Swamp donkey. Exact quote.
I have a buddy that always calls that type of person fender lizards.
I said I am the only guy ever to
fender lizards.
Say swamp donkey. Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Your biggest takeaway from the Texans dub yesterday?
If you're able to take a 2-score lead into halftime, then odds are you got a much better chance of winning that ball game.
Well, not that.
That's close.
My biggest takeaway, you know, how do you describe Deshaun Watson after the way we've described him the last month or month and a half of the season? I think you describe him as an MVP candidate. That's my biggest takeaway. That is my biggest takeaway. This guy, if you define valuable.
Stop it.
In terms of value, not just to his team, but as a player. Landry, he's accounting for 89% of the Texans' offense. Deshaun Watson, 89% of the offense is him. That is the most valuable player candidate. That's what it is.
He's been good.
Good?
He's been good. But MVP, come on.
No, come on.
I know you're watching the same film I watched. Come on now.
Dang right.
The biggest takeaway that I have is Will Fuller is going to be the number one receiver for Deshaun Watson during the prime of his career. Not trading Will Fuller was the right decision because I think Will Fuller, when we look at Deshaun Watson and we look at the glory years of Deshaun Watson, they're much better with Will Fuller. That's my biggest takeaway. And life is better for Deshaun Watson just with Bill O'Brien leaving the building. You can talk about opponents. You can talk about all that. It is addition by subtraction when it comes to that. And also, Tim Kelly should file a restraining order against Bill O'Brien. And whatever his next coaching job is, even if it means coaching peewee football, he should not be on Bill O'Brien's staff.
Don't put him on the resume.
He should not. He should not.
Just put Texans.
Yes. Use Bill O'Brien as a reference. He needs to get as far away from King Bill as he can.
It wasn't horseshit on offense.
Well, it was when
you were there.
Exactly. Look, man, he's done more for his career in the time that he's not been with Bill O'Brien than the time he's been with him. I mean, the play calling was good. I'm not going to say he was, you know, Andy Reid out there or Eric Bieniemy or whatever, but it was really good. And I think the main thing is Bill O'Brien's out of the way. He's not. You know, one of the things we've consistently said is that there's so many voices in. I don't want as many voices in Deshaun Watson's head. Well, there's not. You know, he's letting it play. Deshaun Watson said as much.
We got to see Deshaun thrive. 4 touchdown passes. Probably could add 6 or 7. And we also got to see J.J. Watt. Little vintage J.J. Watt. Pick 6 to the house. Here's number 99 talking about the pick 6 a week after he had a career high 4 passes deflected.
Pass. We had a blitz on, so I was going up the field, but I saw he was going to throw quickly, so I stopped rushing and jumped up. Hit me square in the hands, double clutched it, and then just spun out and ran to the end zone. Just trying to make a play, trying to do whatever I possibly can to help us win a game, to help, obviously, on a big stage, trying to help us get a win. Give the city of Houston something to smile about.
JJ takes it to the house. Then he takes it to the house and says that he probably gained about 20 pounds eating. JJ was very excited about
Did he have four plates again like he talked about before?
I want to know how good this cornbread casserole that his wife makes is, or if he's just trying to be nice.
Oh, no. You know what's good and what's not. The best thing about Thanksgiving is everybody brings their best dish. So it's all going to be good. Like, I didn't have anything bad yesterday. I mean, because that's your deal. Like, whoever makes the, you know, the spicy cream corn makes it. You know, whoever makes the oyster dressing makes it. Whoever makes cornbread dressing makes it. Best mashed potatoes and gravy with horseradish. I'm basically giving you our menu.
What?
Oh.
Horseradish?
Oh. Oh.
That's
my middle son. That's his deal.
That's whack.
He makes garlic mashed potatoes with horseradish that is out of this world.
Should be out of this world. Does it not even exist?
And then my oldest son makes the giblet gravy.
The huh?
The giblet gravy.
What's that?
It's gravy with giblets in it.
Who? What are giblets?
The giblets from the turkey. The inside stuff that you get when you clean the turkey out. You chop that up, make it into the gravy. Dude, we ate well. We ate well, well, well. And by the way, I did fry the ribs to season the oil, the peanut oil, before I did the turkeys. I did one turkey with Cajun injection and one turkey with a pecan praline injection. That was really, really good. Caramelized. Excellent.
Giblets.
Giblets. You've never had giblet gravy?
Maybe. I don't know. I just called it gravy.
No, it has like chunks of the giblets in it, in the gravy. It's really good. Put that over the garlic mash with horseradish and then a little bit on the dressing. You're living well. You're living quite well.
You eating leftovers today?
I got a sandwich with me. I'm going to probably have a plate for dinner.
I'm eating stew all day today.
So you got your stew?
Did I get my stew? Took that Tupperware in there like crazy. I got like a whole thing. I'm probably going to eat like 6 bowls of stew when I go home and just be the most worthless fat ass in the world. Not get up from the couch till like tomorrow. That's the good thing about working on a football Friday after Thanksgiving is mentally it feels like a reaction Monday. So you feel like you're just getting the week started.
Yeah.
And it feels like Thanksgiving because it's such a fun time was like a whole weekend. Mm-hmm. But really, you basically got 2 weekends.
Yeah.
You know?
Because yesterday was like a weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then obviously the weekend.
Are people still Black Friday crazy mm-hmm. today? Is it all online or are there some people lining up and stuff?
Well, you know, I'm not going to line up. I think a lot of people just like the hunt. They like to line up. But
I like the hunt.
You can do it all online, man. They have Black Friday.
But that's not the same as finding something. If you're a clearance rack gangster, you can't do that online. I mean, you can, but you don't get like the real effect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to all the Black Friday shoppers out there.
Why do they call it Black Friday?
Race car!
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Why do they call it Black Friday? Black
Friday. Black Friday. Y'all want to go down that rabbit hole.
No, really. Why do they? Should we call it the shopping day, like the Washington football team? Like, what is Black Friday?
Yeah.
You got it?
I don't know. I heard a couple different versions.
Oh. All right. Who coined the name Black Friday? Police officers in Philadelphia were the first to link Black Friday
to
the post-Thanksgiving
period.
This isn't
starting out well.
I'm about to cut your mic off, man.
This is not starting out well.
In the 1950s, large crowds of tourists and shoppers came to the city the day after Thanksgiving for the Army-Navy football game, creating chaos, traffic jams, and shoplifting opportunities.
Oh, no. You're not doing well on this.
What do you mean? I didn't invent it.
Well, I know.
Black Friday is an informal name. Well, I mean, we might be learning that we can't call it Black Friday.
This is true.
Might actually be progressing right now as society. Informal name for the day after Thanksgiving, which is celebrated the fourth Thursday of November, the day after. The term Black Friday did not become widely used until recent decades, during the time global retailers have adapted the term and make their own sales.
Okay, so it's more about the people who have to work because it's the day after Thanksgiving and a lot of people go shop. I didn't know that. We learned something today. It's because so many people in that industry have to work, so it's like a Black Friday for them.
Let's go to Arcadio. Arcadio, help us out, please.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Or not.
Arcadio.
Hey, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, it's Black Friday, not because of a black thing, but because it takes everybody out of the red, deficit-wise, retailers, and puts them in the black.
Oh.
So it's all profit.
That makes more sense than anything.
You guys are snowflakes trying to make something out of that.
You guys, you were nervous when you started reading that.
No, I was. I was. I was like,
first words out of his mouth.
I was like, man, I should have done some.
Why am I saying this?
No, I started. No, let's just replay. I was nervous reading that. I was like, okay, this is exactly how I read it when
police
I looked it
up. Officers. Wait, what?
Like, uh-oh.
Who coined the name Black Friday? Police officers in Philadelphia were the first to link Black Friday
in the 1950s.
Yeah. Landry Locker, man. John Lopez, Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's eat a W, and let's talk about the Texans moving forward. Do we feel better now about this team than we did after week four, or is this fool's gold? Football Friday continues next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.